Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to our launching point. John 3:16. Let's read verses 16 and 17 together. Are you there? Then let's read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And as I've been sharing, God told me last time I was on vacation, he said that, you know, we, being me in his church, is not where we should be at this stage. We should be much further along in our progress. We should have a stronger presence. We should have more of an impact on the affairs of this world, and the world should be looking to us because we're demonstrators of the standards by which one should live. And so, as you turn to Luke 7, okay, Luke 6, I beg your pardon. And I'm reading from the NIV, starting at verse 46. He gives the answer as to why we're not all where we should be. He said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say?" You should underline that. Or highlight it if it's electronic. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it, because it was well built. I like the part where it says it could not shake it. That means it didn't get upset, it didn't get worried, it didn't get frustrated. It just stood. That's the way we're supposed to be. Just stand. Because we are well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. The moment adversity came, it just crumbled. Just crumbled. Why? No foundation. So we're going to keep digging until we uncover everything. Everything that's between us and our foundation. Because there should be nothing between us and our foundation. We need to be built solidly upon our foundation. And we know the Word of God is our foundation. Now, we've been talking a lot about faith. We're talking, what is it? And how much do you have? How much do you need? You know, we've talked a lot about faith, but there's an aspect of faith that we need to talk about. I mean, yes, we have to have faith. Bible tells us we walk by faith and not by sight. We're the just, we live by faith. But do we know everything that's necessary to work our faith? Because it's great to have something. If you don't know how to use it, don't know how to work it, what good is it? You may wind up misusing or mishandling, misappropriating. And so there's a principle that we need to understand if we want our faith to work effectively. And that principle is found in Galatians 5. Would you please turn there? I thought Minister Dolores was going to preach this message during Hour of Power. Galatians 5. I'm in the King James. I'm going to start at verse 1. Paul says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." You'll find yourself getting, seem like you're on that. What is the thing that wheel that? Yeah, what do you call the thing that hamster runs around in? All right, I call it bondage, but that's what he's. He said, "Why is it?" He said, "Don't be entangled with that. Don't be entangled again," which means we were there and he got made us free from it. "Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect until you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness," how? "By faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by faith which works by love." I'm going to read that in a different translation for you. It says the CEV, Contemporary English, at verse 5. "But the Spirit makes us sure that God will accept us because of our faith in Christ. If you are a follower of Christ Jesus, it makes no difference whether you are circumcised or not. All that matters is your faith that makes you love others." That all that matters is your faith that makes you love others. The Worldwide English New Testament. "So if a man belongs to Christ Jesus, it does not matter if he is circumcised or not. He must show by his love that he believes." You say he must show by his love that he has faith. Okay? And the Voice translation says, here's the thing. In Jesus the Anointed, whether you are circumcised or not makes no difference. What makes a difference is faith energized by love. Energized. So let's consider some things. The Bible tells us faith, without faith, it's impossible to do what? Impossible. Never, not happening. 2 Corinthians tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. Hebrews 10:38 says, "Now the just shall," and we just read earlier that faith works by love. So when one, this is what listen to this, when one refuses to love the way God told us, his or her faith becomes ineffective. It can't work. You can't live by faith because it's not there. You can't walk by faith because you don't have any, so you have to walk by sight. And it's impossible for you to please God. Why? You're not loving. There's no evidence of you having faith. All of this is happening because you refuse to love. We refuse to love. We all know it, but let's look at John 13. Verse 34 and 35. Out of the Message Bible. Jesus said, "Let me give you a new command. Love one another." Then he explains how. "In the same way I loved you, you love one another." And the question is, well, how did he love us? He died for us. "This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have." When they see the love you have one for another. Didn't say when they hear about the miracles you perform. It said when they see the love that you have. So we're going to look at a couple of words. First one I want to look at is recognize. It means to identify, some of the definitions, because there are a lot of definitions to recognize. It says to identify as something or someone previously seen. To identify from knowledge of appearance or characteristics. I like this last one. To perceive as true. Everyone will perceive that we are true disciples. Everyone. Everyone will identify us with Jesus. Everyone will when they see the love we have. When they see the love we own. When they see the love we hold on to use. When they see the love that we relate to. Our love has to do those things. And people need to see that. They need to see that the way we love relates to them. Right where they are. Regardless of what they're doing or what they may have done. Another word for recognize was validate. This is how everyone will validate that we are truly disciples of Jesus Christ. When they see the love we possess, when they see how we love and hold each other dearly, when they see us relating. See, faith by itself cannot eradicate fear. The Bible, what does the Bible tell us casts out fear? Perfect love casts out fear. So when we refuse to love, it's because we think the person is not worthy, or maybe the person hasn't demonstrated that they would receive it. Or maybe it's someone, or it's someone who reminds us of someone who hurt us. And of course, we're not going to give anybody else a chance to do that again. And since the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, well, if we're not loving, then we don't have hope. If we're not loving, if we don't see ourselves loving the way Jesus loves, what does that do to our faith? Since faith works through, faith gets energized by love. See, it takes, you have to have faith to love folks the way Jesus did and does. You have to. You need to think about it. He knew Peter was going to deny him three times. He knew all of his close followers were going to abandon him. He knew the world was going to turn their back on him. But he went to the cross anyway because he loved us. And there's another reason why I did, and we're going to get to that in about 10 minutes. But we need to understand that it's not that we are incapable of love. We're made in the image and likeness of God, and the Bible tells us very plainly that God is love. But for whatever reason, we do the same thing to love that we do to our faith. We put it on a switch. And we decide, yep, I love this person. Oh, no, I'm not loving them. Or we'll use that famous Christian phrase, I love them from a distance. I'm so glad. If anybody deserves to be loved from a distance, it was me, and Jesus never did. He was up close and personal with me. Okay. See, the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Let me ask you this question. If I am a power source, you know, if I give power to this device, I don't, but if I give power to this, then all the power that I have is available. It should be able to do the things I do because I've given it what I have. Jesus said, as the Father has loved him, so as he loved us. He was able to accomplish what he did because the Father loved him. And he loved the Father. And because he loved the Father, he believed everything that the Father said. And he did everything that the Father said. Are we doing everything that the Father said? And since Jesus said the evidence of that was you love the Father, then we have to get out our shovel. Because if we're not doing what the Father said, then we're not acting like we love him. And if we're not operating in love, then how can we operate in faith? Because if we don't love him enough to do what he says, we don't have faith in his word or in who he is. Are you seeing a connection here? Faith gets energized by love. It works through love. I looked up all of the different translations on that, and they all say the same thing. And I'm like, there's no way getting around this. Faith needs to work through and be energized by love. And since love never fails, then faith should never fail. If it has everything love has, if love is what energizes it. But if you look at things going on in the world, it looks like love fails. Because people don't tell the truth. The Bible says love never fails, never fades out, or comes to an end. How many of you believe that? Then how can we fall out of love? See, if we can fall out of love, we were never in love in the first place. Okay, we were in something else, but it wasn't love. Jesus went to the cross. Jesus endured everything. I want to read this. This is from, you probably remember seeing this one, Pastor, the Johnson's Rationale Paraphrase of the New Testament Translation. He said, let me describe love. Love stays in difficult relationships with kindness. Love stays in difficult relationships with kindness. Now you think about that person that you always say gets on your last nerve, who rubs you the wrong way. And we got to dig deep. We got to dig deep and understand if we truly love the way Jesus loves, we can't be rubbed the wrong way. We have no last nerve. But we'll be patient, we'll be kind. Even if we truly believe the person is just impossible, the love that we have for that person will energize our faith to stick it out and to seek God on what we can do to help change the situation. We're too quick to sick God on somebody. You know, God is our Father, not our pet. Okay? We don't go to God and say, sick him, God. Okay. No. Listen to this. Love does not play, this is still part of Johnson's translation, love does not play one-upmanship, nor does it react to those who do. See, love stays steady. It stays steady. I like something one of our grandchildren said. They were in a situation and folks were getting a little upset at the way people were reacting, and they just said, all your friends aren't gonna like each other. I mean, this is no big deal. Everybody's not gonna like everybody. Like, don't sweat it, okay? And you don't react to those who play one-upmanship. Love is not rude or grasping or overly sensitive, nor does love search for imperfections and faults in others. You think about that. Faith doesn't see imperfections. Faith calleth those things that be not as though they were. So when we get to that place, we're always going to see people operating fully in the glory of God. Why? Because we love them. And love always believes the best of everybody. Love is the, listen to this, love is the most enduring quality of human existence. It keeps on keeping on. It trusts in God in every situation. You think about that. Love trusts God in every conceivable situation. And it expects God to act in all circumstances. It said nothing can destroy love. Nothing. So if nothing, since nothing can destroy love, nothing should be able to destroy our faith either, since it's being energized by that love. And we have to see the two of them together. If you get to the place when something comes up and you say, I don't know if I can believe that. You just stop and say, why don't I love God? Who is it that I'm not loving that's making me doubt? Because my faith doesn't believe that I can do this. And the Bible tells me that my faith works through my love. So where am I missing it? In my love walk and allowing it to affect my faith like that. You know, you need to get your shovel and you need to start digging and not stop until you find it because it's there. I realize that sometimes I would bury things so deep. You know, you as one of our children would say, you look for it, but you don't look. You know, you just... You know, you take a few scoops and nope, see, I knew there was nothing there, and you keep going. You know, that one more scoop and you'd have seen it. Just one more. Just keep going. I've dug enough. No, just keep going. When do I stop? Till you hit the rock. Till you hit the rock. And everything else that's in the way, you need to throw it over your shoulder and keep digging. One of the mistakes that we make, it's like, I'm not going to ask how many of you have a junk drawer or drunk drawers or cabinets or attics or whatever you want to call it, okay? And you make about your mind, you know, and you realize God's been telling you, you need to clean this thing out. You need to get rid of this stuff. And finally, you're agreeable. You say, okay, I'm going to do it. And then you pick up an item, and you don't throw it away. You look at it. And you start remembering. You go, oh, I remember this moment. God, you want me to put this? I can't put this. No, I'll find another place for it. So you'll take it from there. And you'll put it over here. Okay. And you'll look at it. Oh, yes. Go, honey, do you look at this? Yeah. Oh, no, we can't throw this away. And we put that over there. See? And we find out all we've done is we've reshifted. We've taken things from one place and we've put them somewhere else and we still keep bumping into the wall wondering what. God, I straightened it out. He ain't say straighten it out. He said clean it out. Okay. There's a difference. Okay. And when you clean it out, that means you have to, everyone say, I have to throw it away. I mean, that's what we have to do. We just move it to different places because it just reminds us of so much good stuff. But look at what it's getting in the way of. And you have to ask yourself a question. Is it really worth it? See, if we have the kind of love that bears up under anything that comes, we'll have the kind of faith that bears up under anything that comes. It's really that simple. I thought there was going to be something, you know, complex or deep, or, and I'm looking at them like, this is simple. When you have love, your faith will bear up under anything and everything that comes. Your faith will be ever ready to believe the best of every person. It will be faithless under all circumstances, and it will endure everything without weakening. It's that simple. Love caused Jesus not to expose Judas. He didn't tell his disciples, call the 11 over. Judas, go out and do what you need to do. So you know what that sucker's getting ready to do? You guys need to avoid him, okay? Avoid him like the plague. Matter of fact, let's pray now that he go hang himself or something. You know, no, Jesus, he didn't expose him. He loved him. He knew he was a thief. Didn't take the treasury from him. How many of us would do that? Okay. I know you think, God have to come down and tell me. Watch it now. Don't get the point where I got to see God write it on the wall. Last time he wrote on the wall, folks, look what happened. You don't want that to happen. But going back to what I told you, I said, I'll tell you it in about 10 minutes. Look at John 14. John 14. Trying to keep this very light. Verse 15. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, if you love me, your faith will be so energized, you'll just do what I say. John 15, verse 9, gives us an example. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Then he's giving us a key, folks. He says, continue ye in my love. He gives us even more intel on it. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. See, the Father's love gave Jesus all the faith he needed. Jesus believed the Father loved him. So he believed everything that the Father told him was true. And he said that he loves us the same way the Father loves him. So we have the ability to have the same kind of faith because it's being energized by the same kind of love. The same love God had for Jesus, that Jesus obeyed, Jesus has for us, that we should obey. But we can't obey if we don't love him. We have to love Jesus the same way Jesus loved the Father. We have to be obedient to Jesus the same way Jesus was obedient to the Father. We have to believe Jesus, we have to believe like Jesus believed the Father. And we have to know that we're only going to do the things that he tells us to do. We're going to have to learn, as the Father has taught me, that's what I speak, that's what I do. That's the place we have to keep digging till we get to. Then we'll have the same kind of faith that won't fail, that won't even shake, no matter what happens. How many of you want that kind of faith? I know I do. See, our faith has to be visible. And in order for it to be visible, we have to live in the love of Jesus. Just like he lives in the love of the Father, doing everything that the Father commands him to do. And I saw another scripture that says it another way. For as the body of Christ without the Spirit is dead, so faith without love is dead also. So as the body of without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. But faith gets energized by love. So if there's no love, there's no faith. We have to learn to love one another. Say, how do we learn that? By just making a choice to be obedient to what Jesus commanded us. It was so important. He knew God gave us 10 commandments. He said, I have to give you another one. Love one another. The same way I love you, you love one another. That's the only thing. That kind of love is the only thing that'll validate us as being his disciples. That's it. So if we claim to be disciples of Christ, then it should be evident in how we treat people. It would be evident in how we interact with one another. We are too quick to cop an attitude. We're too quick. We're too quick to allow our temperature to just rise. And, you know, it doesn't go, you know, to warm meat. It goes right to boiling. And we're happy with it. We get righteously indignant with it. I had to put that devil in a place. Who said they were a devil? And we go around and we'll talk. Those so-called Christians. Really? What? Wait a minute now. Were we in their heart when they made the confession? So what do we base those types of statements on? Because someone's not acting the way we do? None of us are consistently the way Jesus does. And he doesn't go to God and say, you know what, forget them. He goes, you know what he does? He says, Father, I died for that. I took that on. Whatever they need for peace, it's on me, Dad. It's on me. So you just keep blessing them. I literally have this covered. And we need to understand that. He's got it covered. So someone did something, and you were hurt by it. Your life's not over. You can choose to let it go. But in order to let it go, you have to love God. You have to love Jesus the same way he loves God. You have to love that person that hurt you the same way Jesus loves you. And you have to love yourself to not want to live a life in bondage. You have to love you enough to want to walk by faith. And if that means forgiving the person, so what? Jesus paid the highest price there is. So there's no price that should be too great for us. If we really mean it when we say we want to walk by faith and not by sight. If we really mean it when we say, I love you, then there are some changes that we have to make. There's too much work that we have to do that God had. I'm telling you, he has us not digging trenches. He has us digging ditches, digging all around, clearing all the gunk away from our foundation. All the stuff that we've allowed years to just pile on and pile on and pile on that can cause us to become bitter. And if we become bitter, we're definitely not going to be in faith. I mean, I had no faith in God before I became a believer and had all the faith in my own ability because I didn't see any evidence of God in the people that were supposed to be his children. I ain't looked very hard for it, gotta be honest with you. But I didn't see it. I literally expected that if a person were really godly, I'd know it the minute I saw them. That was my expectation as a sinner. Because of things I've heard people say. And I'm like, well, there must be something different. And I don't see anything different. And I said, they must be phony. This must be a scam or something. Because if they really believe that, they wouldn't be acting like that. And that hasn't changed. The world still thinks that way. If we really believe God's word is true, if we really believe God is, then why aren't we acting like it? Why aren't we doing? We believe God is the creator of everything. And the creator of everything is going to ask something of us, and we're going to say no. Or we're going to do it our way. We didn't create everything. Now, we're good creators. We really are. We're best at creating a mess. Because we won't be in faith because we won't love the way we're supposed to. And if I can't love you, I can't believe God for things. What's going to energize that faith? If I can't trust that God can give me the love for you that I'm supposed to have, why would I believe that he'd give me anything else? Comes from the same source, him. Comes from the same word, his. Same God that told me I could do all things through Christ, the same God told me to love one another. So if I'm going to believe one and operate in one and work one, I have to work the other. Or nothing will work. Or I should say nothing will work right. I'll keep bumping my head into the wall. As the body without the spirit is dead, faith without works is dead. If we don't have love, we don't have what the Bible says energizes our faith. Where does that leave our faith? Dead. Get the connection. We have to make sure that the connection stays solid. We have to make a choice to just flat out love one another. Period. Period. And we're going to be tested. We're going to be tested almost immediately with something. But that's okay. See, I always go back to athletics. Teams that were well prepared, well conditioned, well trained, well coached, weren't afraid of anybody. And they only wanted to play. See, we wanted to look at your record. If you were 30-1 or 30-0, and yeah, we wanted you. Right, Deacon Lee? If we looked at your record, you were 1-15. It's like, well, I had to waste my time playing this game. No, we want something. We want something that's going to test us. That's going to prove we are who we say we are. We all want great testimonies, but no one wants to go through a great test. That's the only. Hey, Pastor Clinton used to say it. We sing the song, "We Shall Overcome," but then we don't want anything that we have to come over. You know. That's why it's always someday. Okay. We keep avoiding the things that we need to come over. Okay. We want to overcome right now. Right now we want to overcome. So right now we need to operate in faith, and right now we need to love one another. I'm finished right now. Folks, we have to flat out love. Bible says perfect love casts out fear. It says there's no fear in love. No fear. That means we should be willing to do anything God asks us. Because we know, because of the way he loves us, he would never ask us to do anything that will put us in harm's way or that we're incapable of doing. Never. But we have to have the perfect love, and we have to show the perfect love. Pastor Clinton wrote in that song, "Be careful how you entertain a stranger. It may be the master in disguise." I thought of this program that I like called Mystery Diner. You know, if folks, they go in and they pose and they see what's really going on. See, sometimes we used to wonder, sometimes we still do, you know, you come around certain people and you wonder, why do I have to deal with this person? It may be the master in disguise. We believe God's word that the people are coming and the money is coming. And we say with our mouth that God's going to send people the way they are. God's not about above sending scouts to see if we really mean what we say. But see, he already knows. The purpose of that scout is to let you know that you can love the way he loves. It's very easy to love someone who you know just loves and adores you. It's easy. What about the person that sucks their teeth so loud they almost swallow them when they see you? What about those who you see them and their eyes just cut you to pieces? And you've never, to your knowledge, has done anything. Will you still love them? What about the people that come in and they raise their hand or they stand up or they indicate they're first-time guests, and then they come out into the lobby and all the groups stay the same, talking about, well, we're going to go and eat, and no one goes up to them and talks to them and say, what are you doing after service? Why don't you come with us? You know, we'll treat you to lunch. No, but I have my children with me. I have four. That's okay. Bring them with you. Let's go. Why? Because it's who we are. And because it's who we are, it's the things that we do. We have said for, what is the password, 32 years, we are a place where the love of God is evident. Are we at the place where it's the thing we do and not just the thing we say? Something to think about. And now put the connection that our faith gets energized by our love. And start thinking about the things that we haven't accomplished that we want to accomplish. Love becomes more important, doesn't it? it's got to be the thing that we do. It has to be first nature, not second nature. The first thought is love. The second thought, love. The third thought, well, if you do the first two, you won't have a third one. You won't. Because you will have realized, look, my responsibility is to love them the same way Jesus loves me. And because he said I can do it, I'm doing it. See, we have to get past I can to I am. Because, yeah, we can. Yeah, we can. I can go to the gym. I can stop eating junk food. I can stop eating. I can stop smoking. It has to go to, I am going to the gym. I am eating properly. I am not putting harmful chemicals in my body. That's what it needs to get to. Not I need to love more. I am loving. We get up in the morning, okay, Father, show me how to love today the way you love me. We have to, love has to be on our minds. Has to be. That's the only way it becomes our only reaction is one of love. Do we see that?